Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. So I'm commenting on Anjem Chowdhury, who has just been given free board and accommodation courtesy of His Britannic Majesty for many years to come. So Mr. Chowdhury, he's now 57 years of age, and he will not be seeing daylight for quite some time to go. So he's perhaps the best known face of militant Islam in the United Kingdom. So this is life sentence that he's serving now, but in practice that almost never means life. He probably will not be leaving jail, only in a coffin, but he'll be there, I would think, to well into his 70s. So he is accused of being either directly or indirectly behind at least 25% of the terrorist attacks in the early 2010s, of having encouraged at least 100 people to join terrorist organizations and so on. So he played cat and mouse with the law successfully for years, skirting legality. He was a very glib and witty debater and publicist for his cause. He reveled in the attention and he relished every opportunity to appear on television. So he clearly enjoyed what he was doing, and he sometimes ran rings around the interviewers. So he was droll. He had a twinkle in his eye. He was a devil in your ear. Put his ideology aside. I mean, that's sick. But apart from that, he had a certain geniality, which made him quite an attractive character to all sorts of people, even those who were deeply unsympathetic to the rebarbative cause that he espoused. So in 2014, that's when he attached himself to the Islamic State in Syria and al-Shams, the so-called Caliphate, which is run by Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. So he'd already been found guilty under the Terrorism Act of 2000 for encouraging support for a forbidden organization, that's to say ISIS. He was under sanctions by the United States. So Chowdhury was born in London in 1967. His parents had immigrated to the UK from the Pakistani Punjab. He grew up in an observant Muslim family. He briefly attended Bart's medical school, but he didn't qualify as a doctor. He dropped out. He studied law at the University of Southampton. Then he became a solicitor, but he dropped out of that quite quickly. And mostly he taught English as a second language. He didn't actually have qualifications of that, but you didn't need to in those days. In his teens and 20s, he was a non-observant Muslim. He drank heavily. He dabbled in drugs and so on. It's only later that he got into his faith, which can, of course, be an entirely honorable and admirable thing. But for him, no, it led him to a hyper-aggressive perversion of the religion. So he was already encouraging Muslims to train with weapons in the United Kingdom and overseas. And he was an admirer of Osama bin Laden since the late 1990s. Osama bin Laden was then hosted by the Taliban in Afghanistan. And Anjem Chowdhury, he also supported the Islamist cause in Chechnya, Russia. He became much better known after 9/11. And he helped form this organization called Al-Muhajirun. I think it means the exiles. So he had a very close cooperative relationship with Omar Bakri Muhammad, who was originally Syrian, who'd helped to establish Hizb ut-Tahrir, meaning the Party of Liberation in the United Kingdom. So Omar Bakri Muhammad was a refugee in the United Kingdom, and he was a sort of clownish figure, a bit like Chowdhury, but the effects of his preachments were anything but a joke. They had very serious, fatal consequences for a lot of innocent people. And like his mate Chowdhury, he managed to play around on the edge of the law for a very long time, till finally be given a long sentence. Like one of Omar Bakri Muhammad's quips was that in which direction should one pass flatus? In the direction of the enemy. And so it went on. So he'd done all sorts of things, Chowdhury, to encourage support for terrorist organizations. And he had a significant presence in the Jamia Islamia school in Sussex, getting Muslim men and teenagers. And some of the activities were completely peaceful and lawful, but it was meant to be stage one of recruiting for terrorist activity abroad. And various people who wound up in Guantanamo Bay, the detention camp, they said that Omar Bakr Muhammad and Anjem Chowdhury had led them down the path, which had them winding up there in Camp X-Ray, or whatever you call it. So Anjem Chowdhury, he thoroughly approved of various sort of things like the 9/11 attacks. He was an outspoken admirer of the Taliban. When the Jyllands Post in 2006, that Danish newspaper, when they printed cartoons about the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, Anjem Chowdhury was heavily involved in demonstrations to the Danish embassy in London. Now, there were people who demonstrated there who were entirely lawful, were almost reasonable, but Anjem Chowdhury decidedly was not. And there were people who said that that Danes ought to be killed for having displayed these things. So, and Chowdhury, he was a staple on various programs about Islam. And obviously, he was loathed by many in the Muslim community, felt that he was embarrassing, to say the least. He was giving them all a bad name, and that he was very dangerous to secular Muslims, to Shia Muslims, and so on. Right. So he loved giving press conferences and so on. What else would I support say about him? So it was really getting involved in ISIS. That's what got him into trouble. He had said something on television when he was in some telelink with some people in the United States, Elliot Spitzer, that New York Democrat politician. And I can't remember what Chowdhury said, but for once he put his foot in it. And so Elliot Spitzer said, that's it. You can be prosecuted in the United States because you've encouraged terrorism against the United States. But he wasn't extradited there, nor did I think was his extradition sought. So he had a considerable sway. He's published a number of works about human rights, comparison of the Declaration of Human Rights and Divine Rights in Islam, as well as groups and parties of Islam, the Islamic Verdict. So he is a wordsmith, he's witty and so on. And his cheerful and humorous persona, it belies the vicious ideology that he's espousing, as in death to homosexuals and the subjugation of women and so forth. Pressure on anyone who's not Muslim, severe discrimination against anybody who's not Muslim, the death for anyone who apostates from Islam and things like that. Supporter of the most cruelly and bloodthirsty and oppressive regimes in the world. He would bring the Taliban to the United Kingdom if he could. So his support amongst the Muslim community in the United Kingdom was never widespread. That their observant Muslims like Salma Yaqub, who was involved in the Respect Party, who said that he was a bigot and that he really was driving a wedge between the Muslim community and the rest of British society. And that those who loathe him and say he's no Islamic scholar and so on and shouldn't be taken seriously. So Hope Not Hate, which is an anti-racist organization, they also say that he's very bad. If he's not a racist, he's a religionist. Because obviously, in principle, people of any ethnicity can convert to Islam. He regards it as a superior way of life, right? And I don't quarrel with his right to do so. But certainly, the imposition of this on others were unwilling would be very bad news indeed. So he's married, had several children. He's been on benefits most of the time. So he's not going to see them for quite a long time. He's got four children. Anything else about Anjem Chowdhury? No, I don't think so. Well, thank you so much for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate on PayPal. Toodaloo.